I wonder how much, for both of you, I wonder how much Jesus' words ring true when it comes to your unique kiddos. And that word is this, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to Christ in All Things, a conversation about meaning and purpose.
It's based on a verse from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Christ in All Things is a listening ear into conversations about receiving and giving the love and hope of Christ.
And these conversations are an invitation, because as much as you'll hear, and as much as we enjoy having them, digital media operates from a distance, and that's not what's best for us, with God or with one another.
So, thanks for listening. And if you're in the neighborhood, we invite you to participate in person in the life that finds its epicenter at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Welcome back to Christ in All Things. I'm Pastor Lance O'Donnell.
I'm Pastor Jason Chalkman.
And we are here with part two of our interview with Jackie Meyer. Jackie, welcome back.
Thank you.
So when we left our conversation at the break in part one, you mentioned, and we were talking about the things that formed you as a human being. You mentioned, you know, that you have Turners. You talked about your strong family and the faith in which you were raised. And then you talked about moving to Oconomowoc and becoming members at St. Paul's. And we were talking about participating in church life and how being involved is important to you. And that's where we left off and began talking about how important participation is. I'd like to come to that, but first via how you are involved in the life of the congregation here. You should tell our listeners a little bit about how you're presently involved, and how maybe a little bit how you have been involved in the past personally.
Oh gosh. Well, I was in choir, and then work schedule changed, and so I wasn't able to continue with that. But that is something that I like to do. Just helping out with the little things, you know.
What does that mean?
We don't actually know. That's why we're asking.
Well, like putting tables and chairs away when needed, setting up for our potluck meals, helping set up and bring something, just finding a little need and filling that need.
Can you give a couple examples of the last thing you just talked about, you know, finding a need and filling it? Can you give a couple examples of something that you did where you did that?
I'm trying to think of a good example.
Well, my point for asking is at least a twofold, but I'm asking, and this will give you a little bit more time to think about it. But for our listeners out there, often people tend to think they have to be involved in some big way. And for a person like me, and I imagine for you, Pastor Chalkman, you know, if we're on staff here and there's stuff that goes on all the time. And and you mentioned, you know, just picking up chairs. Often when you have an event, people just
leave.
Mm-hmm. But somebody has to put away those chairs, and it often ends up, you know, being the staff people. But
they have a class at the seminary, tables and chairs 101.
Yeah, so
they don't really.
So I don't. That's actually enormously thoughtful.
It is.
To when an event's over, to give a few minutes and help out and clean up. You may not think it's actually really, really helpful, because if the same people end up doing it all the time, every time, it ends up being a bit of a discouragement, because, you know, the people who set up the event and then they have to stick around afterwards. But many hands
make light work.
Mm-hmm. So it's a great
and idle hands are a devil's plaything. So not having idle hands, lending a hand to help, is a great way to not only be involved and participating in the life of the church, but keep yourself out of trouble too.
So,
and for somebody who is, you know, a supplanter and tenacious, a rebellious supplanter by name.
It is.
That can be a really helpful thing.
If you don't know what Pastor Shackman's talking about, you got to need to go back and
listen to
episode one about yeah. Jackie's name. And that is a great, that combination of you, you know, being born with Turner's and then having what initially, because we know you as a very sweet, helpful, you know, active woman of the church. And
to have a name that means
to have a name that means
powerful,
grasps
name
at the heel.
Well, us Turner girls are fighters. Only 2% of us are born alive.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. And it's about 1 in 2,500 girls that are born with Turner's.
Mm-hmm. So of those conceived with Turner's, 2% live to birth.
Yep.
Wow. It's
essentially, so I did a little digging.
Yeah.
Turner's is essentially instead of an XX chromosome for a girl, it's an X and a half or a single X chromosome where there's a whole chunk of that second X chromosome that's missing. So for a human conceived in the womb with only an X chromosome, not an XY or not an XX, for many who are conceived with Turner's, it's an incomplete genetic code.
And so you ended up being one of the
2%.
That's amazing.
Yep. Jackie's one of the 2%.
Yeah.
Yep. And so their symbol, if you will, is the butterfly. Because same percent of butterflies go into a cocoon and make it out a butterfly.
How about that? Okay.
Yep.
That's helpful.
That makes her a tenacious butterfly.
That's actually not a bad nickname for
it's
her.
It's not.
So on that note, let's talk a little bit more about church life and participating, because you're, you know, right now you work at,
yes.
And that happened during the pandemic, right? As you came over and started working in our early childhood center.
Yes.
And you're now, are you 3 years in?
In September, it'll be three.
And we're recording on the 21st of February in 2024. So in a few months, it'll be 3 years. But you've done other things before that. You weren't on staff before. What were you involved in?
So I was a medical assistant for 22 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But you were involved in church life.
Yes, we were involved in church life. So I was thinking about what you were saying about finding the need. I remember this one time there was an elderly lady that we knew that came to church in a snowstorm. She had a walker. And she came in and we were exchanging pleasantries. And she's like, oh, you know, my son's going to be so happy that I came to church. He's going to be so excited. I'm like, you walked in this snowstorm? She's like, yeah. I'm like, Dave, can we bring her home? Let's drive her home.
Yeah.
So, you know, little things like that.
I can see that. So what other ways are you involved presently in the life of the congregation?
Mainly with the ECC, doing a lot of things there. We recently had the auction and...
The Early Childhood Center auction.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I like to bake.
Okay.
I can't cook, but I like to bake.
Got it. All right.
It's a fine distinction.
Yeah. And so I made these panda bear cupcakes.
Okay.
And they were sold at auction. And
those were yours. Okay.
Those are mine.
Yeah. Super cute.
Nice. So what other things? In terms of your participation.
I'll help her with this.
You're going to help her.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She's a mom. Of a school kid.
Yes.
And is actively involved in the life of the school through her kid and his activities.
Yep. He plays basketball. Loves it.
And she's at every game.
Yep.
Almost. When she's not there, Dave is. And often when Dave's there. She is. Because, Jackie, you come to most of his games.
Yes, I do, unless I'm working or something.
Right.
Yep.
Well, unless the rare time when it was an early game, right, and you couldn't get out of the ECC until after the game.
Yeah.
But even then, you'd show up at the gym.
Yep.
Since we opened that can of worms, I'm going to make an assumption that one of the things on your list is the adoption of your son.
Absolutely.
I was trying to transition us there. So thanks for picking that up. Yeah.
So tell us about that and that process and how that has formed you.
Well, the process for us was kind of a long process. Adoption is like that.
So for our listeners who might not understand or know, what can you summarize briefly what the adoption process involves?
Well, for us, we went through LCFS.
Lutheran Child and Family Services.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so we had the regular home study, all the paperwork that goes with that.
So now, Jackie just said, so we had the regular home study. So what does a home study involve?
So the caseworker coming over and interviewing you, looking at your place, checking that it's safe. You get recommendations from family and friends where they write the paperwork, your marriage certificate, birth certificate, all that good stuff. And then we also had to make a photo album telling all about ourselves. And
for the adoption agency.
Correct.
Yep. So that birth parents could pick you.
Correct.
Out of a host of other potential adoptive parents.
Correct.
To place their child with you.
Yes.
That's a lot of waiting, is my guess. So you, Pastor O'Donnell, you speak to this from someone who's gone through it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe slightly differently because you guys went international.
Mm-hmm.
I can only ask these questions from someone who hasn't gone through it. So when you, Jackie, just say, you know, all the usual stuff or all the usual paperwork, I'm over here going, nope, I don't have a clue what that means. So like when you say all the usual paperwork, you mean you have to have documented proof of who you are by birth certificate,
yep.
of your marital status by license, of yep. your vocation and
financial viability,
your educational background, any academic accomplishment you may have had. You really have to compile a written record
yep.
of your life. To present then to an adoption agency, in this case, Lutheran Child and Family Services, so that they can investigate and verify that you are indeed, A, who you say you are, B, that you actually want to adopt a child for the sake of raising the child.
Right.
And three, or C, that you would be a safe place for that child to grow and be cared for.
Yep.
When you're just having a baby, nobody asks for any of that.
Right. Yeah. If you're just doing the straight up biological route, as it were.
When you're married and decide, hey, we want to have kids, God gave us a process for that. So for a non-adoptive parent, it's not a little thing to conceive of or to try to conceive of all that you guys did in order to adopt your children.
Did you guys have to do write up a philosophy of parenting or anything like that as part of your process?
We didn't have to write it, but we were interviewed about it and asked about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Carrie and I talked about that afterwards, that it seemed... we wish we had done that with the biological kids. Mm-hmm. There, you know, and I would actually recommend that for any of you listening, and you if you haven't had children, as part of your preparation, even premarital, is what is your philosophy of parenting? You know, and understanding you're going to learn on the fly and adopt, but having and adapt it and change.
Freudian slip there.
But that process is, I found it really, really helpful.
Yeah, some of the questions they would ask were definitely made you think about things.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me an example.
Well, the biggest one was exactly like Pastor said, you know, the philosophy. How would you discipline? How would you?
Yeah, a lot of people don't talk about or talk much about discipline before.
All of a sudden they have a child before, and they have to discipline the child.
Before they have a child. And, mm-hmm. and you know, in the couple, you come from two different family backgrounds, and we tend to default towards what we did in our families of origin. But talking about it ahead of time, talking about how are we going to do this together for the benefit of the child and for our family is really, really beneficial.
Yeah.
And so So you go through this process.
Right.
And at what point do you find out about Caleb?
So we were actually here for Wednesday night Bible study.
Okay.
And Dave got a call on his cell phone, and it was our coordinator saying that there was birth parents that wanted to meet us. And so...
A little boy had been born.
Nope, he wasn't born yet.
Okay.
He wasn't born yet. So we actually met them at the agency on our 7th wedding anniversary.
No kidding.
It was actually our anniversary that day that we all met, and we got to meet them, and he was...
Were you nervous out of your mind?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but super nice, and it was good. And he was born in November, and we were able to take custody of him 4 days before Christmas.
Okay.
So talk about a really cool 7th wedding anniversary gift. And then the Christmas gift of Christmas gifts was bringing Caleb to church.
Yep.
4 days after you took custody of him.
What year was that?
2011.
And was that the first time he came to church with you guys?
No. So after he was born, he went to a foster home that worked exclusively with the agency. All they did was take the babies for the first month. That's all they did. And so he was with them for the first month until the termination of parental rights hearing was all done and official. And that's what happened on the 20th, and then we took custody of him. So
I'm curious. You have your Bible, or my Bible, in front of you, and I'd love for you to read your confirmation verse, which is 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18, and to reflect a little bit on how this relates to your adoption journey.
So my confirmation verse was, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen."
So how...
Go.
All right, Jackie. You have my Bible in front of you there. And your confirmation verse is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. I'd love to hear you read that, and then let's talk about how... the adoption process relates to this.
"But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen."
Amen indeed. So how does the adoption process reflected, as it were, in that verse for you? How is being an adoptive parent going through that process helped you to grow in the grace of Christ?
You definitely are, I think, as any parent, continuing to learn and grow and to help your child grow in the faith and know God, and all the other normal parenting stuff that comes with it, school and extracurriculars. And
so how about the process itself? I'm curious, because I mean, for Carrie and I and for our family, because we had three biological children when we went through the process, the adoption process really deepened our faith and challenged it. And I'm curious if you had an analogous experience.
I can say that I think it definitely brought Dave and I closer together.
How so?
The thought-provoking questions they would ask you, you know, mm-hmm. during the interview process, and when our caseworker would come over and do her visits, because she had to visit once a month for 6 months before we could get our court date to finalize his adoption.
Wow.
Yeah. And
so that, hang on, in as a question in the process, so you, before you, December 20th, mm-hmm. for 6 months before that, you've got a caseworker coming over once a month, every month.
6 months after we took custody of
him. After you take custody.
Yep.
And that's to finalize the custody that you've already procured. But
yes. As it were,
but don't yet fully have.
See, that's right. Such a different
that's
thing.
Wild.
So you have a right. domestic adoption.
Right.
And you're caring for this beautiful little boy and providing him a home and care and bonding with this child, all the while knowing that it might not be finalized.
Right. Yeah, we weren't grandfather clause in. That was a new rule in the midst of our process that changed. So she had to write a report once a month, an update on how we were doing mm-hmm. and how things were going. And the caseworker laughed after the second time. As Caleb's rolling around the floor laughing like crazy, his belly laugh that he has. And she's like, yeah, he's so unhappy and not adjusted here at all.
And I imagine that has to, that, you know, it's interesting, that moment has to be for both of you, you and Dave, an affirmation and a fulfillment of a fervent, almost lifelong prayer.
Yep. Definitely.
It's a big deal.
Yep. It was great. And then... So his adoption was finalized on August 1st. Mm-hmm. And it was funny, when we were there in the court, Caleb was bouncing on Dave's leg the whole time, laughing hysterically. And the judge interrupted the lawyer and was like, okay, we're finalizing this. And the bailiff took our pictures with everybody, and it was great.
Good for you.
Yeah. Once in my service as pastor, a family asked me to be present in the courtroom when adoption was finalized. That was such a cool moment.
Yeah, it was fun.
Just to bear witness to it. I mean, I knew the family. I was involved in their life. But just to be able to be there to bear witness to it was really neat. I can't even imagine the overwhelming joy of being there and having that gift given. I wonder how much for both of you. I wonder how much Jesus' words ring true when it comes to your unique kiddos. And that word is this, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was great too, because the judge was super nice. Judges love adoptions.
Yeah.
In family court. And
it's the most cheerful thing they get to do.
Right. And he said afterwards, he came up to us and said, I have a friend who works in, who has a toy company. And he tells me to give every adoption a toy. So he got to pick out a teddy bear. Kayla picked out this teddy bear and it's still his buddy.
Awesome. I love so. It.
You know, I am, you know, I am teary. Think just thinking about that day for you. And it is a different, you know, we did an international adoption. And so everything was done, you know, the moment Brennan became an O'Donnell.
Hi.
You know, yours is that process of, you know, and you knew from the moment you and Dave met that this was going to be part of your journey.
Right.
And that's, by the way, special, you know, that for you to have that and it becomes part of your journey as you meet one another. Mm-hmm. This is what it's going to be for us. And you get, you know, you get married, and then at some point that paperwork, that process begins, and it's, you know, you're going to church together and you're praying, and this is part of your life together. And it's a, man, that's a long wait.
How many years were you guys married before you really in earnest started the adoption process?
2 years.
Okay.
I think it was 2 years.
And it was how many years after that till it was came to pass?
5.
Yeah.
So you, amongst the people in the congregation, probably have the closest approximation of, to an understanding of what it was like to be Abraham and Sarah.
Legitimately. Yeah. The irony, by the way, is not lost on me that at their 7th wedding anniversary,
The fulfillment number?
Yeah.
So Jackie, you know, we've talked about Turner's. We've talked about your family and faith development, about coming to St. Paul's and participating in church life. And we had to talk about your adoption. Are there some other things on your list beyond that?
No, I think those are the highlights.
Yeah. Yeah. And your little man is how old now?
12.
Now 12. I'm going to ask you a big question for a very short period of time because we're coming up on time here. How has being a parent, so we talked about how the adoption process helped you grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How has being a parent helped you grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus?
Well, I think that it's definitely helped me. I'm thinking of the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Like patience.
Sure.
You know, parenting definitely has a lot of patience.
Kindness.
Yep.
Gentleness.
Yep. That's what I'm immediately thinking about.
The fruit of the Spirit.
Yep.
It's only one way we get it, and it's the Holy Spirit making it grow. And sometimes he gives us lots of opportunities to practice.
So for those of you who might not know and are listening, this is from Galatians 5, correct? The fruit of the Spirit is
love,
joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness,
gentleness,
faithfulness, and
self-control.
I had one out of order there.
That's okay. they're all one fruit.
They are all one fruit.
Isn't that curious that it's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit.
That we all get it by, you know, we are all baptized into the faith, having the Spirit of God. You have these.
Yeah. These singular fruit. That cracks me up every time.
And the challenge by faith is to manifest it. There is nothing quite like parenting, I think.
To tease it out.
Yeah, to draw upon all that. It's Jackie, thanks a ton for coming in and thank you for all that you do, often in ways that are behind the. Thank you for, you know, Jackie works at our early childhood center. You have what grade level or what age?
2-year-olds.
That's what I was thinking. You had twos.
Oh, man. Yep. Everybody says,
you are a special human being.
In so many ways. And we're glad not just to know you, but to have you as a sister in Christ and to have you as a part of our congregation. So thank you for your time today. Listeners at Christ in All Things, we'll see you next time.
For show notes and other information about Christ in All Things, visit ChristInAllThings.org. Comments may be emailed to comments@ChristInAllThings.org.
We're thankful to provide Christ in All Things to you as a gift.
But it's not free to produce and distribute.
So if you'd like to help us make Christ in All Things a self-supporting show and have a little fun in the process, please click the support page at ChristInAllThings.org.
A donation of any kind gets you a dozen environmentally friendly Christ in All Things straws to share with your friends. Pastor Shockman loves these.
That is so not true. You love those way too much, and I still can't believe you bought them. A donation of $200 or more gets you some cheerful on-air clapping. And a pair of Wisconsin-made wigwam hiking socks.
A donation of $1,000 or more gets you thunderous on-air clapping. And a handmade Christ in All Things leather folio by the Murdy Creative Company.
If you want to donate more than that, well, fly us wherever you want, and we will record Christ in All Things at your chosen location. Within reason, of course.
All post-production surplus supports youth ministry at St. Paul's. Thank you for your support.
Christ in All Things is a production of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. For more information about St. Paul's, visit splco.org, email us at info@splco.org, or the old-fashioned way, give us a call, 262-567-5001. Intro and outro music, setting by Joseph Hurl. Copyright 1998, Concordia Publishing House, used with permission.